It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
Oh, what's this?
The sensitive side of communist despots?
You've got to be kidding.
Who sold out, hey, Paul? Hey, who sold out?
You sure you don't mean conspiracy?
Got him.
Hello, Canada.
Hello.
Guten Tag in Iceland. How are you, Newfoundland? Welcome to the Great Eastern. My name is Paul Moth. Yes, I'm back. This week on The Great Eastern, what men really want. Our spies bring back more unreleased musical booty, orphan organs subsidize healthcare cuts, a lane to the land of the dead, and much more for you. With me, Paul Moth, on Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Hubba, hubba, what a week. Well, you know, I remain hip, but ever more humble. Yeah, TV. Mostly Moth, my towny TV-sponsored, high-stakes, winner-take-all gamble on the late-night talk show landscape is mostly a memory. The critics were unanimous in their verdict. Leastly Moth was one headline. Who Will Rid Me was another. But the review that stung me to the quick was Mostly Moth only argument for bringing back Ben Murgy. The trouble started in pre-production. If you're from Canada, or if you haven't seen the ads for Mostly Moth, I'm follically impaired. My forehead was kicking back a lot of light, so the producers had me wear a dorky hat. And then the guests were all hostile or whacked out on downers. I think we were serving decaf or postum in the green room. I got slapped. The musicians got busted in the parking lot. Ball lightning hit the transmission tower and knocked the power out during my monologue. Would have been the best part of the show, too. All in all, an experience that the Newfoundland televiewing audience would like to forget, but alas, cannot. The long and the short of it, I got canned. Fired. Over and out, Paul. It was a wrap after opening night. But now I'm here again with my first love, radio. And even though I got to start out at the bottom of the pile with no seniority, I am back, and I'm never leaving again. A little older, a little wiser, and a little more litigated. Aaron Zagner and Townie TV? Goodbye. From sunny Norway, here's Kirsten Breitenberg and Seint om lørdagskvelden.
Seint om lørdagskvelden tyge kom heim, gjøle det vil han tøma. Kari la opp hedda, det gikk igjen fei, og sa sett el på pipa. Søren låg i senga, ropte etter mat, fann seg hedde kaka, det opp på eit fat. Det var simpel kost til å stå på hoks, Bjørn og han var ikke heime, og sa var heim alene. Hirre la ma deg, oppa ma deg, hirre la ma deg da.
Done. I'm here at Bookness, a Tony local St. John's bookseller. They've got a coffee shop in one corner where you can sip your latte, and then there are computers in another corner for your internet connections, I guess, that sort of thing. And joining me is Kathleen Hanrahan, our resident bookworm, with another installment of Wordworks.
Hello, Paul. I hear you had a wild time at the Toym of Toyms pageant.
I have to confess, I was completely taken in by the whole thing. I bought into the riot, the looting. At one point, Kathleen, I even began to fear for my life.
Great, hey?
Oh, it was tremendous. Now, Kathleen, you've got two new releases with you, and the first is...
First, by Dr. Judy Stoyles, What Men Really Want.
In what regard, Kathleen?
In emotional terms, Paul.
And how did Dr. Judy, a woman I might note, divine what we lads of the patriarchy truly seek in this vale of tears?
She's a clinical psychologist here in town, so she drew from the experience of her patients.
Sensitive men, I'd guess.
And she conducted thousands of interviews.
Well, I certainly didn't fill out one of her questionnaires, so tell me, Kathleen, what do I really want?
More nurturing.
You're not serious.
There is a young and lonely boy somewhere inside you, Paul. A boy that needs to be hugged. You want less casual sex and more intimacy.
No way! Is that in there?
Yes. I take it you don't agree.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Kathleen. I'm all for intimacy, you know, dinner beforehand, a little post-coital chit-chat maybe. I'm as sensitive as the next guy, but if you want to know what men really want...
I do.
Well, for starters... Oh, geez, difficult, Kathleen.
Oh, no need to be embarrassed around me, Paul.
Okay, definitely more AM loving, you know, first thing when you wake up in the morning. And I think it's fair to say that most men want one of those new Dodge Rams, you know, the ones with the V10 Viper engine. And more gravy. Men would definitely like to see the bad image of gravy rehabilitated.
You've got to be kidding.
Well, you asked.
Well, Paul, I can see you don't need a copy of this. But for those folks who might want an in-depth look at what men really want, Dr. Judy Stoyle's book is published by Nipkow for $22.99.
Okay, what's next?
Merfkin, A Life in Gander, the much-anticipated biography of Newfoundland novelist Nicholas Merfkin. This big book is by Ramon Pugsley.
I did a course on Merfkin in university. I found it really appealing, you know, the grand historic sweep, characters by the hundreds, the almost life-denying pathos, the back-breaking task of carrying hardcover editions of his work upstairs. These were tremendous books.
Considered by many to be this island's greatest writer, a native son who nonetheless lived as a Russian novelist.
But he was born as?
Nick Murphy.
Right. Now, there are pictures here from his early years in Gander, looking tired and emotional aboard his sleigh. And look, here in his great fur hat. And here's the Dasha near Twillingate.
Well, that particular photograph was taken just before Bertha Harnham rejected his marriage proposal.
That's an event which really shaped his adult life.
Oh, yes. Merfkin fell into a desperate black depression that was to last the rest of his days.
Mm-hmm. He took to gambling.
Tormented by crippling bunions and corn.
Caring for his drunken brother's enormous family of a... What was it?
36, yeah. Being thrown into prison for producing a scurrilous pamphlet attacking the colonial education system.
And killed then in a duel on the very day of his release from Her Majesty's.
And now, that fact is questioned in the biography.
Oh?
Well, Merfkin was about to duel, had walked the 10 paces, aimed his pistol, and at the very moment he was to fire, was blindsided by a milk wagon.
Wow.
Ironically, driven by James Fitzpatrick, the man who Bertha Harnham, Merfkin's one true love, eventually married.
Well, that's an amazing story. So that's Ramon Pugsley's Merfkin, A Life in Gander, and it's published by Mow Down House and retails for $89.
Seems expensive, but it is over 1,000 pages.
Comprehensive. Thanks for joining me here at Booknest, Kathleen.
Oh, nice to see you back, Paul.
Oh, thanks so much.
You're listening to The Great Eastern on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland with your host, Paul Moff.
We have musical spies everywhere, and our operatives have scored again big time. They've returned from their latest mission with this new demo tape of material by Newfoundland's Ron Hines. Here's Tell It to the Judge.
I don't need to hear your story. Sure it's a good one. I don't need to know where you've been, what you've been doing. Darling, I won't even hold a grudge. Tell it to the judge. Darling, raise your right hand. Tell the truth if you still can. It can't take much to tell it to the judge. Tell it to the judge. I'll have my lawyer contact yours. Mine's a shrewd one. And his favorites are the juicy, spicy mood ones. He'll dig up every tiny bucket of sludge. Tell it to the judge. Darling, raise your right hand. Tell the truth if you still can. It can't take much. Tell it to the judge. Tell it to the judge. I'll be matter of fact and cold and disconnected. And I'll sit so still
You won't see me budge and tell it to the judge. So when I raise my right hand, I know His Honor will understand you didn't love me too much. Tell it to the judge. Tell it to the judge. Tell it to the judge. Yeah, tell it to the judge. To the judge.
St. John's, the oldest port in North America, the city of legends. Beneath St. John's lie ancient catacombs and sewers. Old codgers allow how they're populated by dwarves and riddling fairies and a race of hardy men forced into womanhood. Imagine that. For more information, dial 1-800-668-DOWN. Beneath St. John's, a place like no other, a living labyrinth of unimaginable pleasures. Imagine this love.
The preceding message brought to you by the Newfoundland Department of Tourism, Ormond Boudreau, Minister.
Well, it sure feels like home. Back here in the musty old, dusty old BCN archive, lair of radio lodestone, Ish Lundrigan. Yes, friends, I'm drawn way down to the vault where we hear some gem or another from the illustrious past of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. And here he is, Ish Lundrigan. It sure is good to see you, Ish.
Hello, Bob.
Now, what have you culled from the old days for us today?
Well, in honor, I suppose, of your return to the radio waves, I've found for the listeners the audition tape of a young, hopeful announcer, still wet behind the ears.
No, you can't be serious.
A young fellow who thought he had some experience from working at the university record player.
This is too embarrassing.
Thought he was going to be the savior of radio.
Oh, come on.
Thought he was some kind of gift to the ether.
Ish.
A pioneer, a trendsetter, a leader. Oh, how we laughed at you, Paul.
Well, let's be fair-ish. I was idealistic.
All right, let's be fair, Paul. You were a jackass boy. You used to come in here in your black pajamas, fresh out of the Viet Minh you were then, in the revolutionary stage, I suppose you'd call it. Sitting in the lunchroom, squat on the floor in the corner with your little bowl of rice with the chipsticks, is it?
Chopsticks, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, you must have needed money to pay for your pills or your pot or something, because you came looking for a summer job at BCN. I only gave it a chance because I knew your father. We were both in the Knights Templar, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here it is, folks. Comrade Paul Moth's first audition.
May 1st, 1971, audition tape for Paul Moll.
That's Moth, M-O-T-H, Moth.
When you're ready.
Pronunciation test. Larynx, staccato, inquiry, juke, Amadan, Yamyak, Mstislav Rostropovich, democracy. You want to talk democracy? What about Chicago? What about the War Measures Act?
Just read the script, Mr. Moll.
What do you mean? I'm not allowed to do a political commentary here?
We have regular informed contributors.
You think opinion is the sole property of the informed?
At the BCN it is.
When the revolution comes, man, you're going up against the wall.
Could you move on to sports, please?
Okay. In Newfoundland senior hockey last night, Danky Dorrington scored 2 goals as the Cornerbrook Royals beat. Did you know that some of these guys on the Capitals get paid? $20 a game? In the epic of totalitarian control, capitalism has reduced its own religion, the spectacle.
Could you just read...
Yeah, I know, man, I know. Just read the script. Look, I don't think I need this kind of demeaning employment. I can get an OFY grant or something.
We're almost finished here. Why don't you just improvise for about a minute? Tell us a little about yourself, something like that.
Okay. I was born in St. John's in 1949. Middle-class parents living in a bourgeois dream fantasy. My father was a shoe salesman at Parker and Monroe's. Was raised a nominal Catholic, part of the bizarre Hillman sect. And then I was subjected to a brainwashing experiment by the Jesuits at St. Matthew's for 11 years. Went to Mon, where I studied oppressing the masses, read political economy. So I became disenchanted and depressed until I discovered the Viet Minh and merged with them. We've been occupying the weight room there in the phys ed building for the last year and a half, but we needed some money, so it was decided that I should try and get a job for the cause.
We'll get back to you. Thank you, Mr. Mall.
Going to collectivize all of Kitty Vitty Road, you were. Take out all the lawyers and shoot them. My, 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 how times have changed. Who sold out, hey, pal? Hey, who sold out?
Ish, thanks a lot for this humorous reminder of things past, and I trust we'll see you next time.
In the vault.
Our Icelandic listeners are always writing us demanding more music from their side of the Atlantic Rim. Okay, from her new album, Host, here's Björk with I Miss You.
I miss you.
While I was staggering from the effects of my ill-fated television nightmare last Saturday morning, I tuned into the Great Eastern at the regular contest time. The What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest has a power and an attraction that cannot be denied. Or explained, I guess. We get mail from almost all over. But before I dip into the mailbag, let's hear what that noise is all about. Tommy Codner, if you please. So, if you are thinking you know what that particular noise is, get your pencils ready. I'll give you our mailing address after we make a draw. So, down we go into the Happy Bag-O entries, and we pull out an envelope from Aurora, Ontario, addressed to Guess the Place and Sound. That's close enough. And it's from, ooh, wow, pretty psychedelic paper. It's from Emily Addison of Aurora. And she says, Dear Great Eastern, I was listening to your show today, July 15th, on CBC, and the Guess the Place Sound in Newfoundland rang a bell. It doesn't ring bells, Emily. 6 years ago, when I was 10, that would make her, let's see, that was 89. She was born in 79. This is 95. 79, 89, it's 10 to 95. She's 16. When I was 10, our family took a car trip. Oh, and gosh, unfortunately, Emily, your letter seems to have gotten soaked on its way to Newfoundland from Aurora. I can't tell where it is. You're guessing that these birds are yodeling. It's a big smudge here. But there's a P.S. here at the bottom. It reads, The sound was a combination of breeding birds, including common murres and more smudge, then less loud, the black guillemot. Well, Emily, I got to tell you, not being able to read this, I can't... Tommy is signaling me. Well, you got the birds more or less right, but, well, okay, all right. Emily Addison, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We can't declare you a winner, but seeing as how you might have guessed the place, we are going to send you a T-shirt, even though you're in What's That Noise from Newfoundland limbo. Now, aren't we the nice guys? So, semi-congratulations, Emily. You get the T-shirt. The contest is still on for the rest of you across the country. I guess you all know some of the birds now, kittiwakes and murres and gannets, but you still haven't guessed the where. And here we have been sprinkling clues throughout all the shows for you. Let's hear that noise one more time. It just might help you place it. So, would-be winners, if you think you know what and where that noise is from, write us. Our address is the What's That Noise from Newfoundland Contest, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with the BCN Afternoon Schedule. Right after the Great Eastern, it's Look It's with host Pander Parabrahme. This week, look, it's a meat byproduct. Join BCN's own Brahman of Broadcasting as he goes to the abattoir to see what becomes of the pipes and plumbing of local livestock. Offal in, weenie out. There are no sacred cows in the meat mashing business. That's Look It's with Pander Parabrahme. At 3 o'clock, it's Jock and Jill with Hubie Hendricks. Hubie has been training with sports medicine expert Dr. Frank Dyer all summer. Today we check in and see how Hubie has fared under the good doctor's regimen of intense exercise and experimental pharmaceuticals. Get ready for a stronger, faster, and dangerously hostile Hubie Hendricks today on Jock and Jill. At 4, Playlets continues its Newfoundland Writers series with Episode 8 of Delbert Onglow's gritty masterpiece, The Misery That Is My Life. More bad news shocks the quarantined Fleming family this week. Surly daughter Brenda's freebasing again, and Fred starts passing blood on word that he is to be transferred to Rimouski. At 5 o'clock, it's the BCN 5 o'clock news with me, Rita Malloy. And a programming note for tomorrow. Interred with Morris Jesso will be preempted for a special extended farewell edition of Sober Up with Mike Noftal. Mike and many of his favorite guests from the last 40 years of sobriety get together to send the program off with a goodbye bash. Fabulous weekend programming here on BCN, All Newfoundland Radio.
I told you we have eyes and ears in recording studios everywhere. Here's a brilliant treat by the stellar Pamela Morgan from her new album that we understand will be released early in the new year, and Heart of Darkness.
following me up into the attic at the... Watch the head there, Dusty. Following me up into the attic here at Moth Manor is antique expert Alistair Dusty Powell. Now, I'll bet you've seen a few dark corners in your time, Dusty.
Hey, you don't know the half of it.
You own and operate the oldest antique shop here in St. John's, the Brace and Splinter Reliquary, and every day you must see...
a great deal of junk.
Oh.
Only a small proportion of the items I see have any real value. Simply because something's old doesn't mean it's of any interest.
Yes, look at Mum, for instance. Now, the old family stuff that you've agreed to come and look at, it probably falls into the category of junk, but, you know, we must live in hope.
Oh, a little family background is always a good place to start, Paul. It gives us an idea of the sorts of things we should be on the lookout for.
Oh, gee, there's not much to tell, really. The Moths are Dutch, originally. Lost it all in the tulip speculation madness back in 1667. Somehow we ended up in Ireland for a generation before coming out to St. John's, where we've been now for over 250 years.
Strange, I've never seen the Moth name in any old documents.
Well, the family is known for its low profile.
Well, what have you got for me?
Well, first, there's this little table. It's so tiny and of such haphazard construction. I've always thought that...
of no interest whatsoever. No more than 40 years old, the work of a hobbyist.
Oh.
Oh, but not to worry. I'll strip some of the paint off it, work it over with a ball-peen hammer, and we'll sell it as folk art in Halifax. Make a killing.
I don't know, Dusty. I mean, I really like the people in Halifax. Sometimes, I don't know, I guess their innate trusting nature lands them in trouble. I hate to see them taken in all the time. But you think there's a good nickel in it, do you?
Big boutique bucks.
Well, whatever makes them happy, I guess. Move it, Dustmeister.
That's the spirit. Next.
This bauble has always intrigued me.
I see, yeah.
You're looking at the underside for a maker's mark, no doubt?
Yes, and see here. Woolco, $1.44.
Shows you what I know. Now, how about these documents? They're old deeds or something.
They're original charters to the city. And they've been... Merciful Lord, they've been laminated.
Yeah, and Mum wanted to make sure they're preserved. It can get pretty damp up here, you know.
Oh, you imbecile, they're ruined.
Then for our listeners who have old documents, lamination is a no-no. Here, my old hockey cards, unlaminated, thankfully. Now, these have become collectible, haven't they?
Well, it depends on the card.
Well, here, Bronco Horvath, Ed Stasiak, look, Bill Gadsby.
Can I see?
Sure.
Got him. Well, Paul, a complete collection of traders. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Oh, what's this?
Huh, the mug.
Chalice. Yes.
Well, Dad, rest his soul, was a member of one of those men's service organizations. What are they called? The Templars Club or something?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they used to really embarrass me when I was a kid, those ridiculous ceremonies and going around in hoods, chanting all that. But I think they used to raise money for the children's hospital, so hey, why not?
And this mug?
Yeah, they always had the old mug out whenever they met. I always guessed it was a hockey trophy. Worth anything?
No, not really. But I've always made a personal hobby of collecting old chalices. Oh, virtually no market value.
We got a deal here, Dusty.
Let's.
Now, I'll warn you, Dusty. I spent a few years in old Mexico, and this gringo is a pretty cagey haggler.
$50.
70?
I give. You're too tough for me, Paul. Here's the money.
Dusty, my man, hold on. I was willing to let this baby go for $60 easy. You are too soft.
Well, for you, Paul, 65.
60 and not a cent less.
Sold.
The fool and his money are soon parted, Dust. You wouldn't know, but it was the Boyle Trophy. Now, in closing, Dusty, is there a single guideline that our listeners can use when separating the treasure from the trash as they clear out their garages?
The conventional wisdom is to keep everything but table scraps. But you know, Paul, lately I've realized collecting isn't for everyone.
No?
No, the glacier knocks in the cupboard, the desert sighs in the bed, and the crack in the teacup opens a lane to the land of the dead. W. A. Jordan.
Indeed. Dusty Powell, thanks for this.
A pleasure, Paul.
Lean back. Open wide. This won't hurt a bit. Get to the root of the problem when University of the Air presents Foundations of Dentistry with Dr. Emmy Fifield. This week, Dr. Fifield looks at separating gums and demonstrates some of the new suction techniques that have helped make oral operations a relaxing experience for patient and doctor alike. Chew on this. Foundations of Dentistry on BCN's University of the Air, Thursday morning at 11 o'clock.
One of this show's former hosts, Linda Reardigan, went on to international radio notoriety. She hosted hit shows in Cuba and in Europe, and she's just published her autobiography, Breakfast with Fidel. It's a great thrill to welcome her back to the Great Eastern. Linda Reardigan, you are looking muy fabuloso.
Oh, muy thanks, Paul. It's been, what, 25 years?
Wow, very full years for you.
Well, I do my best.
Now, reading your autobiography is like looking behind every major headline in living memory.
Thank you.
But you know, first things first, I always thought you'd hijacked that plane to Cuba in 72.
No, just regular economy.
Smoking or not?
Smoking.
Window?
Aisle.
And you walked right off that plane and into revolutionary celebrity.
Well, you know, I started doing your basic propaganda slash variety slash record spin on co-op radio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it became the first local program in years that Cubans actually listened to.
Now, why did the show have such amazing popular appeal?
It was in English.
Ah.
And, you know, the music was always sort of excellent. You know.
And this brought you to the attention of the authorities.
So much so that for services to the revolution, I was awarded the Order of the New Man for Women.
Well, that's quite an honor.
Communists give good medal.
And this is where you met, then, El Presidente.
I was wondering when we'd get to that. Well, after the ceremony, there was a little party, and Fidel, not to sound too immodest, just couldn't seem to keep his eyes off my awards.
I can see how that might happen.
Oh, we danced. Fido suggested that workers of the world should unite. Mm. I said that it was definitely the moment for a breakthrough in North-South relations. We agreed the sugar cane was unusually juicy that year mm-hmm. and should be harvested as soon as possible.
And then?
He dipped me.
Mm, so a good dancer, obviously. Mm-hmm. But bottom line here, Linda, Fidel Castro, great Latin lover?
Oh, well, a pretty typical guerrilla, rear guard action, lots of it, and a quick withdrawal.
Well, from each according to his abilities.
But to each according to her needs.
And now, surprise, surprise, we have a tape of one of your programs.
No, yeah. Where did you get that?
Well, I have friends that used to, you know, do a lot of sailing in the Caribbean, and they used to send me tapes. This is Habana Linda on Radio Florida Libre.
And you are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Cuba. Radio Florida Libre, 520, presenta Habana Linda.
So, now the big brave Marines are rolling ashore in Grenada, huh? Keeping the world free for banking, are we, boys? Hey, Uncle Sam, try picking on someone your own size for a change. Your moral pipsqueak. Try taking on Cuba, Ronaldo. Remember the Bay of Pigs? Oh, come on over, boys. Take your best shot, baby.
They never let me have that kind of reverb here at the BCN.
Oh, poor darling.
Now, you and Fidel are no longer an item. Why'd you break up?
Oh, boy. You know, the regular stuff. Communication problems, really, I suppose, ironically. I'd say it was his turn to pick up Ricky from daycare, and he'd go on for hours about the need for me to make one more sacrifice for the revolution.
Of course, you had a child together.
No. I had the child. We were together. Mm. You know, Ricky just turned 23. He's just graduating from the Harvard Business School.
Oh, say it ain't so.
Thinks everything should be privatized.
Even public broadcasting?
Especially public broadcasting.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, well, you know, you try to love your kids, Paul, but I'm seeing him writing for the Globe and Mail and the New Republic and hanging out with the likes of David Frum.
Oh,
I mean,
my God, Linda. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I know, thank you.
What do you think could have happened?
Well, you know, I don't know. How do you know? There he was, spending his whole life taking advantage of the very entitlements that he's now attacking with such virulence and... Well, I don't know. When he was a baby, I guess I did accidentally drop him that time down the Odessa steps. Maybe that's it. That's the best I can hope for, really.
Mm-hmm. So, after Cuba, though, you went on to international acclaim?
Yeah, well, you see, we'd been interviewing all the socialist leaders as they came to Cuba, and my producer, Fat Tony Figueroa, well, he had a great idea. Repackage the shows and syndicate them in Europe, and that's how Redheads was born.
A huge success. Were you surprised?
I mean, how could you lose? Not at all. The sensitive side of communist despots? A guaranteed hit. I had Kim Il-sung weeping over memories of his mom. The numbers were huge.
And then almost overnight, you were the Socialite International.
Or the Socialite Internationale.
But what's left now that you've brought it up for old lefties, Linda? I mean, with the collapse of the wall, I mean... What are they doing?
I don't know. Boy, they're starting microbreweries and organic greenhouses, and they're eating free-range chickens and importing exotic lumber and basically hanging on desperately to their civil service jobs, I guess.
In Cuba?
No, Paul. In Canada.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's this I hear about you getting into the video market next?
That's right, Paul. I don't want to do a kind of ad here, but I'm about to release a boxer-sizing video in conjunction with Zagner Cable International.
Well, how'd you get mixed up with Zagner's people? I think I should warn you about that.
But wait, Paul. This is as good a time as any for me to announce to my Newfoundland public my engagement to Aaron Zagner. We're getting married!
No way.
Yes, way! Next October.
Oh, wonders never cease. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, I guess. Thanks for coming in and, hasta la vista, baby.
Well, thanks for having me.
Linda Reardigan's new book, Breakfast with Fidel, is published by Yorkville.
Isn't it wild? I'm getting married!
Here's Billy Bragg, the North Sea Warbler, singing about the North Sea Bubble.
Oh, when time drinking with all this wine, said that all revolutions are not the sign. Here's to what is the culture, to give them birth, but now wild idea can solve it before the whole earth. I'll expect it all to happen. Self-prophesied political fashion. But people are different, and so are nations. For our ideas, but you can't for our situation. Let me drag the people's side.
Our panel on political culture in Newfoundland is back. Joining me in the studio are Ariel Flint, host of BCN's Show Trial, and noted pundit and lobbyist J. Richard Kandow. Carl Johnson, a political economist at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's, joins us by phone this week from Montreal. Good day to you all.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Well, quite a week. Once again, the province... Carl? Carly, are you there? Well, we seem to have lost the line from Montreal.
That is a shame.
In any event, a big news in the province this week, as kinder, gentler, and former president George Bush was almost swallowed by a bog hole in central Newfoundland.
Bush bites the bog one, a headline I would have liked to see.
Jay Richard, the boys in the newsroom tell me you were with the president at the time.
That's a lie. I was nowhere near that bog hole.
No, I mean that you were on the fishing trip with them.
Oh, yes. Well, the chief and I are having some business troubles with the government of Liberia. We needed to discuss them.
I shudder to think.
Thank God we managed to save him in time. A great president and a great American.
A great president.
Well, a middling to fair president, but a damn fine trouter.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like he really knows his way around the wild. 20 Secret Service agents to hold his willy, and he almost drowns in a bog hole.
Yes, that is a bit curious, Richard. What happened out there anyway?
Well, the chopper was forced down by some fog, and the chief was seized by a natural urge, and he stepped behind a grassy knoll for some privacy.
Where he had the unfortunate accident.
Well, I concur with the president's theory. This was no accident. It had all the earmarks of a Saddam Hussein operation.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Think about it, Ariel. The unforecasted fog, oil deposits on the Port-au-Prince Peninsula, and then the assassin bog hole just happening to be there, beckoning at the exact moment the chief felt the unscheduled physiological necessity coming on.
And who were these mysterious ladies that took you gentlemen into the bush, as it were?
Ladies? There were no ladies. Some of the Secret Service lads are occasionally required to dress up a little when the chief is on vacation.
According to this, the ladies in the group noticed he was in distress. They shouted, "The president is down," unquote.
Those ladies. They're domestics for the cabin.
French maids, perhaps?
You really have a very fertile imagination, Ariel.
And, you know, it's come in handy, Richard, let me tell you.
You just have to keep picking away at me, don't you? Get over it!
Well, on to another matter, then. Government announces the closure of the Children's Hospital here in St. John's. Department of Health officials claim that they will be better able to serve the community with fewer beds and major cuts to staff.
Hear, hear.
Is this leaner, meaner medicine or more newspeak nonsense from the people who brought you Hydro the sell-off?
According to my sources inside the civil service, this is just a smokescreen for the ultimate plan, which is the privatization of all health care.
As if that were a bad thing.
But using children as guinea pigs in these insane privatization experiments, that's sick.
No one is even considering for a second charging the kids directly. The billing goes to their parents, unless, of course, they're orphans, in which case we simply put a lien on their organs.
So there is a privatization plan.
There is a prudent contingency.
You sure you don't mean conspiracy? No doubt you're in on the deal with a bunch of private healthcare pros from south of the border.
Wrong! It's an all-Newfoundland takeover. Me, Bernie Ayres, Earl Verity... Christ, what am I saying? Stop. Let's go back. We're going to have to cut out that section of tape, Paul.
I'm afraid I can't help you there, Jay Richard.
Don't dick me around here, Moth. I have people on my staff who could really mess you up.
No. I mean, there is no tape to cut. We're live to air.
I can't believe this is happening. I'm a dick man.
Jay Richard.
Well, Paul, now you can see why we keep the doors locked on show trial.
From the outside.
Exactly. Richard's probably already on his way to the airport. What a clown.
Stand up, actually.
Oh, Carl. Sorry, are you there? Carl, we've just lost Jay Richard.
Yes? Hello?
What are you doing up in Montreal, anyway?
I debuted my routine at the Juste Pour Rire Festival.
Oh, really? Knock 'em dead, Carl?
Oh, wow. It wasn't really a big hit.
Been there, Carl.
Well, more importantly, though...
Well, that's all the time we have for today, though. A dramatic turn of events in the studio here. Thank you, Ariel and Carl, and I guess bon voyage, Jay Richard. We'll see some of you, I hope, next time. I suppose we'll have to find a replacement for Jay Richard now.
He won't have to look far, Paul.
All right. Well, we will see you again, and soon, for another look at politics in Newfoundland.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye, Paul.
From the Condroy Valley, that's Joseph Aucoin, the growling old man. They say you can never go home. God knows. After the backslapping became backstabbing over at Towny TV last week in the wake of my talk show debacle, didn't I want to? My first job in the media was here at the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, a summer replacement sportscaster. Then, after some small success, full with trumped-up significance, I left for what I imagined were greener pastures in Los Angeles. But when things went so horribly wrong down there, when I got so badly messed up, where did I go to dry out, to pull myself together? Home. The BCN's lonely repeater station on the Funk Islands. That's where. And how, then, did I return to the land of the living? I booked passage on the Great Eastern. Home. Home is where the heart is, and this station is mine. Cables its capillaries, great magnets its mind. What lured me away from the nest? How was I tempted? Perhaps I am weak. Indeed, as I found out, there are some lessons that must be learned over and over again. And the most important of these is humility. Remember when you were a kid, those eternal summer holidays around the bay or up in the country? They ended late one night after hours in the car. You came through the front door of the house, got under the covers of your own bed, and the smell. That feel. Home. Resist though I might, fate has drawn me back to this familiar chair, has compelled me to chant once again the sacred cleansing mantra of radio. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Is this thing on? God, it's good to be home.
Every Saturday, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland proudly beams the signal of the Great Eastern live from its studios on Duckworth Street in St. John's, Newfoundland, directly to you, wherever you are. And we'd love to hear back from you. Our mailing address is the Great Eastern, care of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can phone us and leave a message on our answering machine. The number is area code 709-576-5389. If you're phoning from outside the St. John's calling area, we do not accept collect calls. But you can also contact us through the CBC. We have an email address good for the entire summer. It is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Great Eastern is all one word. So is St. John's, and with no punctuation, please. Finally, there's a fax number you can call. It's 709-576-5524. Please, drop us a line with your questions or with your answers. Tommy Cotner is the Great Eastern's engineer this week, and director of radio at the BCN is Ish Lundrigan. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next Saturday for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Coast to coast in Newfoundland, you're listening to BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Good morning, I'm Erling Biggs, your weather watchdog with traffic alert. First, some announcements. The French consulate in St. John's is holding a Hiroshima Golden Jubilee Luau and Pig Roast on the consulate grounds at Petain House on Military Road. It's a great chance for the kids to learn something about our French friends, so why not drop by? Vive la France! Everyone here at the BCN congratulates the crew from Butternut Bread on their victory at this year's Royal St. John's Regatta. And to the crew from the BCN, we salute your noble efforts. Never say die, brave oarsmen, and there's always next year. It's the weekend of the Folk Festival here in St. John's, and BCN will be at Bannerman Park taping the event. please drop by the BCN booth for a free balloon. Just ask to see our BCN balloon boy. Now your traffic alert. Owing no doubt to the great number of celebrations and festivities in downtown today, traffic in the city center is congested and finding a parking spot difficult. Be patient and try to remain calm when you're behind the wheel. On this holiday, remember that the automobile can be a lethal weapon. Due to tonight's festivities in honor of the flotilla of tall ships docked in our fair port, traffic on Harbor Drive will be rerouted along, that's apparently to be designated later today. At any rate, if you're entering St. John's from the arterial road, please proceed with extreme caution. Automobile drivers in the vicinity of Donovan's Overpass are asked to be on the lookout for goods spilled from the back of a truck owned by Terranova Terracotta Works. Conditions are hazardous. It's that time of year again. A moose is on the loose in the West End. The animal has been twice spotted crossing Topsail Road. Should you see the moose, please pull over until it has left the motorway. On no account should motorists employ their vehicles to urge the creature out of harm's way. And the Newfoundland Happy Wanderers Club, on a day-long outing at Bowring Park, is lost. They were last seen at the pond feeding the swans. If you sight the club, please report their whereabouts to the nearest RCMP detachment.